Welcome back to New York City, where Xavier has just lost to Villanova 69-52 in the Big East Championship game. I'm Rick. I'm here with Dan. And Dan, this was, we talked about it last night. Xavier needed Villanova to not bring their A game, and on the flip side, Xavier would clearly have to play their best game to pull this off, and tonight it just didn't happen. Villanova didn't play great. I don't think they shot the ball all that well. They were 9 of 23, which is still 39%, so it's not bad, but they didn't go nuts. I thought Xavier executed and got some better looks than they have in the past against Villanova, but the Musketeers just couldn't finish shots, and that was pretty much the story.
Yeah, it was a weird performance from X because I don't think they played that bad necessarily. Defensively, yeah, they lost some guys in secondary breaks. They didn't get some loose balls. Villanova seemed to get every loose ball, and a lot of those loose balls led to wide open threes, it seemed like. But on offense, I mean, Xavier was running through their stuff for the most part, getting good looks, and then just was completely unable to finish. And that included layups at the rim. It included wide open threes. You know, the stretch of the game that probably is the one that will give you the most heartburn as you look back at it is, so X is down 34-21, I think, at halftime, 13-point deficit. And they come out getting the ball first. They work a really nice set for a wide open three for Miles Davis. He misses it. They get a stop. They come back down the other end, and in the next two possessions, both Stainbrook and D. Davis got layups that were, Stainbrook's was contested, D's was not, and they missed them both. And then at the other end, finally, after three stops to start the half, Villanova, it's a three. So instead of a game that could have hypothetically been down to a 7-point game at that point, it was back to 16. And Xavier really didn't get close from then on in. So I detected that Chris was disappointed in the post-game press conference, but it wasn't necessarily – he didn't seem angry with the way his team played. It wasn't like they were a no-show. They just didn't execute when it mattered, it seemed like.
Yeah, I think really that is kind of as simple as that. I mean, you look at their turnovers, just 9 turnovers against that Villanova defense, which is very active and I thought played really well. Again, they did offensive rebounds. They had 10 offensive rebounds. There was effort. It's not like the guys didn't play, but Villanova is just the better team. And, you know, if someone mentioned on the board, Snow says the 100 out of 100 thing about Xavier over Georgetown, I think you could say the same thing about Villanova or Xavier this year. It's just a matchup that is just not going to work for them. And Villanova is a really good team, and they deserve credit for that. Dan, again, not to harp on the shooting too much, but since it was the story of the game, you look at D. Davis, Remy Abel, and Trayvon Blewett, and even Miles Davis, who you kind of mentioned on the walk back, is those are the guards of this team. Those are the guys that have to – you have to get shots out from some of those, especially with no J.P. McKira. And those guys combined to go just 1 of 10 from three-point range. Remy Abel made the only one. Blewett was 0 for 1. Abel was 1 for 4. Miles Davis was 0 for 5. And D. Davis was 0 for 4 from beyond the arc. So that's just never going to get it done. And that's the thing for me that's been the toughest part to figure out about the Xavier team this year is it's like they're not a bad shooting team. I don't know that they're a great shooting team, and they're certainly inconsistent, but how they can have these nights where they go 2 for 15 from 3 is mind-boggling to me. I just don't get what's causing them to have such poor shooting performances, and most of them came on the road or at a neutral site. A couple of them came at the Cintas Center, so I don't think it's just quite as simple as being away from home, but I don't know what it is either. I don't know what the answer is to how they can shoot so poorly as a team that really has some shooters.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most inexplicable thing about it. With Villanova, though, I thought it was interesting after the game, Coach Mack talked about how this is the standard. I keep pushing these guys. This is the standard to win in this conference, to be a national power. And you see it with Villanova. The one thing that you get out of Villanova is relentless effort and great defense, regardless of whether they're shooting or not. Now, obviously, this year they're always shooting, but –
Well, I liked your point about leadership, too, yeah, that you're bringing up during the game.
Well, this was two things that we saw because we were pretty close to the floor today, unlike the last two nights. And I noticed on two occasions, one late in the first half at the end of Villanova's huge run when they were up 16 or 17 points, that I think it was Ochefu lost his man right into a TV timeout. And the ball was out of bounds down by the Xavier bench. And Darren Hilliard walked all the way from the midcourt line down there and got in Ochefu's face, basically saying, you know, you screwed that up. This is how. And it was like this. And then the same thing happens in the second half. Archie Diacono you know, they're up 20 points with 11 minutes left. They're still diving on the floor after loose balls. And he got into I believe it was either Pinkston or Jenkins about being on the wrong side of his man and allowing a layup. And that's the kind of thing that you just haven't seen from Xavier this year. And we've talked about it all year long that, you know, you can either be a leader, you can lead by example, but you have to have credibility. You have to be a great player to be a leader by example. Or you can be the kind of like outward emotional, like a Dante Jackson type that just is always talking, it's sort of always in his teammates' faces and makes himself into a leader. Problem that Xavier has this year is I don't know that they have that personality, that dominant personality on the team. And today, unfortunately, you know, D. Davis was a warrior today, playing through a twisted ankle in the second half, and you know he didn't play great, but he really worked hard. But Matt Stainbrook, I mean, that was really disappointing the way things went there,
especially with the way he finished the season.
Yeah, I mean, because he had really been dominant in the Creighton game. He had a huge game. He was very good in the other two games here. You know, you see where Matt can be such a influential player, and he makes everybody around him better. But the problem is when he has a meltdown like he did tonight, what do you do? Yeah, I mean, basically he, as far as I could tell, it started in the second minute of the game where something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he blew an assignment or if he lost out on an offensive rebound. I'd have to go back and look at the DVR. But then he was just out of the game mentally. He was just out of the game mentally. I mean, he asked to be pulled out at the first TV timeout, and he just never seemed to – he never seemed to get out of his own way.
Yeah, and Shannon asked him about it, asked Mac about it in the postgame press conference, and I thought Chris seemed rather disappointed with Matt, and he said basically – Matt Ochefu and Pinkston and their bigs, even though they're maybe a little smaller, just played harder than Matt and outplayed him. And he said he thought Matt's frustration and maybe part of it was being tired going into this game crept into that and factored into how frustrated he was getting and why he wasn't playing as hard as them. And he said it kind of affected the rest of the game because Matt did miss a lot of bunnies, and I didn't think he really had any toughness when he was going in and try to finish against those guys like Ochefu or longer and more athletic. And, yeah, I mean, 2 for 8, he finishes with just 4 points and 3 rebounds. It wasn't a good night for Matt Stainbrook, and I think you nailed it on the leadership thing. This is what we've been talking about all year. This is why this team has struggled to win close games at the end, and they've struggled on the road because you have to have those guys that will get into teammates and maybe not just be – it doesn't have to be heavy-handed all the time. You don't have to be a guy that's always yelling at your teammates or criticizing them, but I do think, you know, Xavier knew this was an issue coming in this year because D. Davis never had that personality and wasn't going to be that guy, and obviously he has his own limitations, and it's nicer to have it come from one of your better players. Once Matt arrived, I think, you know, it was pretty clear that he had some emotional and mental immaturities that he had to work out. And we're still seeing them even now in the Big East Championship of his senior year. The one guy that they brought in, I think, on transfer and thought he could make a difference in that regard was Remy Abel. Well, guess what? The only time I saw leadership tonight in that type of form that you're talking about from Hilliard and Archie Diacono was when Miles Davis was yelling at Abel for being in the wrong spots at one occasion. I think going forward, Miles and Trayvon are the two guys who bring that for this team. But this year, Trayvon's still figuring it out. Miles, last year, he was just trying to not have a repeat of last year's this year. So he wasn't ready to be this team's vocal leader and tell everyone else what they're supposed to be doing and getting in guys' asses when they're screwing up because he's worried about himself still. He doesn't have that confidence. By next year or the year after that, I think the leadership won't be an issue because you'll have an emotional guy like Jalen. You'll have guys like Trayvon and Miles who are level-headed and know what's going on and are willing to be vocal in the locker room. So I think that's going to be interesting. One other note I'd make on sort of the future, I did see Rick Carter pull all the freshmen on the team aside, including Edmund and McKinday, after the game. They were watching Villanova celebrate, and he pulled them all over into huddle after everyone had left the court for Xavier. And I imagine he said something to the effect of, remember how this feels, watching them celebrate on the court like this.
Yeah, I did notice that, and they did it right as Villanova was celebrating at MSG. Actually, all the other players on Xavier's team had gone down the tunnel, so it was just those guys in a huddle with Rick Carter for a minute or two out on the floor. But yeah, I mean, it was a good tournament for Xavier. I think they did what they needed to do. They needed to get at least one win. They got two. They got two really nice wins that not only put them comfortably into the tournament, but really have improved where their seeding might look. We think there'll be a 7, maybe an 8 tomorrow. And that, you know, depending on the matchups, they may get an opportunity to either get a shot at the belt or maybe get a bracket, maybe get a two seed in there that you do match up better with, and you can maybe think about trying to get to that second weekend. But in any event, it was a good tournament for Xavier, and it was the kind of thing, it was a nice step forward for the program from last year, because this year has kind of felt like the team was in neutral a lot of the year because they couldn't get over the hump and they couldn't put together a streak of wins. And every time they got to a point in the schedule where it was like, oh, this sets up pretty nicely, they would, you know, they lose a home game to Creighton, they lose a home game to St. John's. They kind of get stuck in the mud. Well, at the end of the season, I think things started to turn around. They get the win at UC. They crush Marquette on the road. They get the win at Creighton. They play pretty well against Villanova at home. And now to beat Butler and Georgetown, both in games where they dug themselves significant deficits at the beginning of the game and had to fight back, and in the Georgetown game had to battle a lot of adversity in the second half, most of it self-inflicted. It was a good step forward for this team. The problem is that now we're at a stage where there's no more time to develop.
Nope.
You have to be the finished product now. And if X goes out in the first round of the NCAA tournament, you know, if they're an 8 or 9 seed and they're playing a Dayton or an Oregon or whoever, and they produce a shooting performance like they did today, they're done. So something's got it. So hopefully something will give on that front, and hopefully they'll be able to build that confidence. But and today I thought the loss of JP McCure was a problem for Xavier, because there's a guy that will come in and will shoot with confidence, not make him, but he did against Georgetown early.
Yep.
So losing him was bad. And actually, Jay Wright actually referenced that when he was talking on the court after the game.
Well, he's one of the coaches who has seen a lot of JP McCure this year, because JP, it is a good matchup for him. He's kind of long, athletic. They can play him over and Xavier played a ton of 1-3-1 zone in this game, which we haven't seen them do a lot against Villanova. So JP definitely would have gotten minutes if they were going to go with that game plan. So I think that is big. One thing, you mentioned the D Davis twisted ankle. We did ask him about that after the game, and he said, you know, he just twisted his ankle, and he thinks he'll be fine for the tournament after getting some treatment on it, you know, going forward this week. So
okay, so last thoughts on the Big East tournament. I guess for me, this Villanova team is one of the best college basketball teams I've watched consistently in the last few years. I haven't watched a whole lot of Kentucky because I find them kind of boring. But Villanova is a very exciting team. They play basketball. They play sort of quintessential team basketball. They share the ball. Their sixth man was the most outstanding player in this tournament. They just seem to have, and they've just got bodies all over the place, and they really do play at a high level of intensity, which is so important. So kudos to them. And I hope that they can make a long incursion into the NCAA tournament, where they're almost certainly going to be the number 2 overall seed in the field.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Josh Hart won the Dave Gaffett Trophy as the most outstanding player. The rest of the Big East all-tournament team, Darren Hilliard from Villanova, Dylan Ennis from Villanova, Jalen Reynolds made it from Xavier, then Devontae Smith-Rivera from Georgetown, and Chris Dunn from Providence. You're talking about the way Villanova plays and how fun they are to watch. I think the thing I like best about them is there's something for everyone. If you're a fan of basketball, even if you're the guy who likes to be old school and wants toughness and wants a great team, they're that. They take charges. They get after it. They do all the small things. At the same time, they don't screw the game up by slowing down and being boring to watch. They get buckets. They spread the ball. They pass it quickly. They shoot it. They play fast. I love everything about this team, and I think they're a hard team to dislike if you're just a fan of good basketball.
Yeah, they had three guys on their team make the all-tournament team, and the co-conference player of the year is not one of them.
Right.
So, excellent job by Villanova. A good weekend for Xavier. The other games, you know, the tournament started with four blowouts, but until the final, both semis and then the last two quarters on Thursday night were all outstanding games. It was a good week at Madison Square Garden. Good crowds, great atmosphere. Obviously, with the Nova folks being in town, they really took over MSG the last two nights. This was obviously a better year in the Big East than it was previously. I think the standard of play was much higher.
The funny thing is, I would agree with that 100%, but I think I would go with last year's games here were a little bit more fun to watch.
Yeah, because the final was very exciting, and really the only blowouts early in it were McDermott going crazy.
So. And Providence was so fun to watch throughout that entire tournament, too.
So anyway, we will so tomorrow, selection show, 6 p.m., Xavier will find out their fate. And Rick will do. Rick will have some TV and stuff that night. You can watch, but we'll probably do a podcast, I'm sure, middle of next week, previewing the first weekend.
All right. Well, that does it for us here in NYC. We appreciate everyone, you know, guys like Joe Fury and Nick Medine and all those other Xavier fans who hung out with us, Pat, and shared a beverage or two and talked about Xavier hoops. It was a good time meeting up with some of the subscribers and just a good weekend of basketball. So that does it for us here from New York City. Again, the final score tonight, Villanova 69, Xavier 52. Thanks for listening, everyone.